On last, when we met, I had the opportunity to share with you from Chronicles. We talked about moving out of your comfort zone. Some of you may remember that. Moving out of your comfort zone. And sure enough, God has moved us all out of our comfort zone. And we looked at the prayer of Jabez and talked about enlarging our territory. And from that perspective, we meant to enlarge our territory had to deal with expanding our sphere of influence so that we could help to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ in our community. And sure enough, God has been answering our prayers, and he's allowed us the opportunity to expand his kingdom here in the community. And so we're talking about next level and discipleship. And really that's what that was talking about when I mentioned that in that sermon. And today, as we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, in this particular pericope of text that I've picked up and I'm going to be pulling on for preaching at this particular period, I would say from the pulpit, but from my desk right now. But I want you to take away from this lesson today. It's designed to teach us how to see Christ in a crisis. How to see Christ in a crisis. And it's designed to remind us that we are disciples of Christ. And never forget, that's who and what we are. We are disciples of Christ. Now, if you can't see my screen, that's okay, because I'm just going over the screen for myself, because I just got a few notes and things on this. So I'm not actually going to show the screen at this time. There may be a point where I will bring that up. But let me share this with you as we talk about Christ in a crisis. A crisis is defined as a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. And I think this qualifies as that. But before we move to the text, I just want to remind you and just put some folks at ease and remember that there is never any panic in heaven. There is only peace. The Lord did not just run around a few weeks ago and say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? It's a virus coming. There is no worry in heaven. There is no panic in heaven. No need to worry in a crisis when you have Christ. There's no need for doubt or fear when the Lord is near. No need for to have fear, doubt, depression, devastation by destruction and disease and worrying about the devil. Sanitize your hands, but make sure you sanctify your heart. Oh, I'm preaching already. If I had an amen, I've got one around here somewhere. I'd do it for myself. Praise the Lord. Listen, last week, by way of getting to my lesson, last week was the beginning of spring here in the Midwest. And I saw a most unusual sight. I witnessed robins in the snow. You see, I say it was an unusual sight because robins and snow don't go together. Robins represent spring, represents hope. But winter represents cold. It represents snow. It represents things that have decayed, things that have passed. And so what's happening right now in this particular situation where we are right now, we're dealing with this coronavirus, and it has not yet passed. But just as winter is life's coldest test, spring lies just ahead. But sometimes what we must do is we must hold on, we must hunker down, and we must shelter ourselves in place until we're able to get past what is going on in our troubled lives and in these troubled times. So let me do this. Let me share with you a few things that will help encourage you and to speed you along your way. We find ourselves in such a place right now as we're going through a transition. Just like with the robins in the snow, we're going through a transition period. And we find ourselves in such a place with this pandemic situation of COVID-19, where we are not yet delivered from it. So we begin to have doubts, and doubt breeds fear, and fear causes us to worry, and worry causes us to be anxious. Now COVID virus, this thing that we're going through, it has forced the world to use new words and to embrace a new normal. The country has grinded to a halt. Schools are shut down. The National Hockey League and Major Baseball have joined the NBA and PGA suspending play. The most celebrated sporting event, surpassing the Super Bowl, March Madness, featuring the best in collegiate basketball, has been canceled. Broadway theaters going dark. Churches having to scramble to find new ways to conduct worship amongst federal and state mandates enacted to slow, watch me now, slow, not stop, the spread of COVID-19. Disney World has shut its gates. U.S. stocks seeing the worst days since the market crash of 1987. Wall Street has gone from a bull to a bear market. New words like self-quarantine and social distancing are the latest phrases to be added to our new lexicography. Heads of state are being tested. Government officials are being tested. Good old Christian folks feeling as though their faith is being tested. But two things that I've learned about a test that I want to share with you. Number one, keep your eyes on your own paper. Oh boy, you preach it now already. Keep your eyes on your own paper. In other words, don't worry about what other folks are doing. Make sure that you pass the test that God has put in front of you to pass. And here's the second thing that I've learned about a test. During the test, the teacher is always silent. Yeah. Because you should be prepared for the test that has been placed in front of you. That's why the teacher's silent. You're going through the test now. No reason, don't too late to raise your hand now. You should have been prepared. So how do we prepare ourselves as children of God? How do we prepare ourselves as disciples of Christ? So when we go through a crisis, we will be prepared. Listen, businesses are canceling conferences and shelves are being emptied in our stores. Tissue paper and hand sanitizers have become as valued as a life vest and a lifeboat on the Titanic. Politicians on both sides of the aisle have come together to pass bills that will inject trillions of dollars into our economy. All in an effort to calm our fears. But social distancing alone will not calm the deluge of my doubts, dilemmas, and fears. Mandates and monetary policies alone won't calm my fears. Political referendums alone are not the remedy to calm my fears. Self-imposed or task isolation while I wait for an inoculation or vaccination will not calm my fears. For a disciple in a dilemma dealing with doubts and fears, the only thing that will calm my fears is the word of God. And an amen. Listen, I heard Brother Lopez said, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from
the Lord.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not looking toward the doctors. I'm not looking toward the government. I'm not looking toward Trump. Okay. Let me say this as best I can. The only Trump I'm concerned about, and I said this when he got into office about 4 years ago, the only Trump I'm concerned about is over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, and the Lord shall return with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. That's the only Trump I'm worried about. So make sure that you put your trust in God. 2 Chronicles 7 and 13 and verse 14 reveals a remedy that will rain down results right from heaven. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, even coronavirus, if my people, which are called by my name, shall just listen, if my people We are the disciples of Christ. If my people that are called by name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal. I will heal their land. Only God can do that. Don't ask man to do something that only God can do. You got a complaint? Take it to God. I still believe Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. He says, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I still believe that we should not be wise in our own eyes, and that we should fear the Lord and not corona. Now, I may not be, okay, let me slow down. I was about to go with James Brown on y'all. Okay. He said, I may not know karate, but I know, yeah, some of y'all get that. I may not know corona, but I know my Christ. And I know that he will provide and that he will deliver and that he will bring health and to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I still believe, and I'm getting to my text, but I still believe that the Lord is my shepherd and I still shall not want. He still maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He still leadeth me beside the still waters. He still restores my soul. He still leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, he said, yea, and I believe that's a yea with a stress on. I'm not running, I'm not jumping, I'm not skipping, I'm just walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or even the corridors of the hospitals that are filled with coronavirus. I still will fear no evil. Why? Ask me why, preacher, why? Well, you can't ask me that because I guess I can't hear you. But if you could, I'd tell you why. Because the word says, thou art with me. That's personal. Thou art with me. I don't know if he's with you, but I know the Lord is with me. And you want to make sure that you have the Lord with you. And then that way you can walk through any valley and not fear. Listen, let me give you one more. Then I run on to my text and then the lesson will be yours. But there are some things that you still need to know that you can find comfort in. And that is in God's word. You can find comfort in Psalms 24, which says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Sanitize your hand. But you better make sure you sanctify your heart. Here's the part that I like. He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one that can fight my battles. I can't fight corona. Christ can. The Lord can. The Lord will provide. The Lord has provided. Listen. I still believe Psalms 25 when it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. He said, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. To thee do I wait all the day long. Now I'm getting to my text, but I want to preach to you what the word of God says. Nothing can bring you more comfort than the word of God. If anything brings you more comfort than the word of God, then it's too much. I still believe Psalms 27, when it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, when the wicked, even when coronavirus came to me to eat upon my flesh, it stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and in this will I be confident. Boy, I'm trying to stay in my seat. This will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And here's the part that I like. For in the time of trouble, he shall, not he might, he'll think about it. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. in the secret of his tabernacle shall he. And he shall set me up upon a rock where corona can't corrode my faith. Listen, God has brought us through anthrax, West Nile, SARS, bird flu, E. coli, financial collapse 2008, swine flu, Ebola, ISIS, Zika virus. Remember polio, tuberculosis, chicken pox. You think God can't bring us through this? Don't fear. Do not fear. Have faith. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, that means absolutely nothing to us in our day. What are you talking about, snares and fowlers? What are you talking about? Let me tell you, here's what it says in the New Living Translation. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Boy, you preaching now. I wish I could get an amen. Listen, trust God and keep it moving. Now remember this. God will rescue you from every deadly disease. And yet, keep this in mind. I trust God and I wear a seatbelt. I trust God and I lock my doors. I trust God and I have a smoke detector. I trust God, and yet in the time of a tornado, I'm going to seek me some shelter. I trust God, and I take prescription medicine, just like the doctor tells me to do it. And I trust God. So now, why is it any different? Why are you so shocked when the doctor tells you, you need to stay your little narrow behind in the house? Okay, I'm sorry. Got too far. That's how my mama used to talk to me. Okay. You better sit your little narrow behind down somewhere. Okay. Now, when the doctor tells you to do that, all of a sudden, that doesn't make sense. Trust God. Keep it moving. Learn this as we move to my text. That as disciples of Christ, we must have more faith than we have fear. But this ain't nothing new to the Lord. Let's run on to the text. Walk with me through the text, and then this lesson will be yours. If you'll be finding in your Bibles or online, however you want to find your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I just thought I saw Sandra, but hey, Sandra. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Here's how the text reads. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Now, I like that part right there. His disciples followed him. And this particular text that I picked up right now is really dealing with discipleship. But we're going to see how it's going to calm our fears because we're disciples. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. This wasn't just an ordinary storm. This was an extraordinary storm. So that the boat was covered with the waves. In other words, the waves were so high, water was now in the boat. Now, you know you got problems when you're on a boat and water's in the boat with you. That's a problem. But he was asleep. And you know, beautiful thing that Brother Lopez brought up in the Bible class is there's a difference between sleep versus rest. You see, Jesus wasn't just sleeping in the back. He was resting. He was resting so that even when the storm and the waves came and they started to splash, he was still asleep because he was resting. Okay, ain't got time. That's a good rabbit to chase, but I ain't going to chase it. Then his disciples came to him, and they awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. verse number 26. But he said to them, and here's where I rest my hat for the rest of the next few moments before I close out. But he said to them, he said to the disciples, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then the men marveled, saying, who can this be? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Christ in a crisis. Christ in a crisis. Always remember, church, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we must always learn to trust God and keep it moving. Choose faith over fear. You see, fear is a choice, just as faith is. You can choose to be full of faith or full of fear, but you can't have them both at the same time. One of them's got to get off your boat. You can't have fear and faith rowing in the same boat because you're not going to be going nowhere. You'll be rowing, but you won't be going. One of them's got to get off your boat. Think about this. The disciples are hanging out with Jesus on a boat when a life-threatening storm erupts on the water. The entire time this is happening, Jesus is sleeping, resting peacefully, while they are pausing, panicking, and predicting how they might die. In other words, they're unprepared to face us. Okay, write this down. They're unprepared to face a storm that they're already in. They're already in the storm, but they are unprepared, and they are in the storm. They're in the storm, but they follow Jesus. Don't you think Jesus knew when he got on that boat? You thought the storm was new to him? You thought it was a surprise, all of a sudden a storm? You thought when he got on the boat, he didn't know that a storm was coming? They were unprepared, but he was not. Christ in a crisis. Instead of looking at Jesus' reaction to their situation, the disciples allowed their situation to dictate their reaction. That's a word right there. Hold on a minute. I need some water myself for that. Jesus' reaction to this situation, instead of looking at that, at Jesus' reaction to this situation, the disciples allowed their situation to dictate their reactions. You see it now? See the application to us today? We just running out. We go... Our fear has got us running out. We just can't get enough of this. I'm just saying. I ain't mad at you if you got you. I got some in my house. I'm just saying. But don't allow the situation to dictate how you react. You react to the situation like a child of God. That is with faith. After begging Jesus to do something, he finally calms the storm, but not before asking them the question, why are you afraid? Why? Don't you trust me? I'm right here with you. His gentle rebuke over their lack of faith wasn't because they didn't believe. Watch this. His gentle rebuke over their lack of faith wasn't because they didn't believe. Jesus could have saved them from the storm, but because they struggled to believe, that he would see them through it. It wasn't that he wasn't going to deliver them. They struggled to see that he was going to see them through it. Whenever there is a delay in delivery, we begin to doubt. Therein lies the dilemma. Whenever there is a delay in delivery, not that Jesus is not coming, not that Jesus is not going to deliver, but Lord, why the delay? I'm tired of waiting. I want security. I want to know. Four words that strike fear in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. I do not know. If a wife looks at her husband and says, baby, what are we going to do? And if he says, I do not know, he's got a problem. You can say amen when you want to. Whenever you look at your leaders and they say, I do not know, you start to doubt. What do you mean you don't know? You're supposed to know. There are some things that we just don't know, not all at one time. And because of that, it strikes fear in our hearts. So let me move on with this. Your safety and security is not dependent on how far you are away from danger, but how close you are to the Lord. I'll say that again. Your safety and security does not depend on how far you are away from danger, but how close you are to the Lord. That's where your safety and security comes from. So even in a delay, God will bring delivery, and he is with you. When we find ourselves in storms that we can't control, how do we respond? With faith or with fear? Three encouraging truths from observing Christ in a crisis. From observing Christ in this particular crisis, here are three things that I want to share with you, and the lesson is to be yours. I'm almost done. Number one, God has power over every storm. There is not a storm that has come into, that will come into our lives, that has ever existed, that God does not have power over. If the wind and the waves don't concern him, then they shouldn't frighten you. You might not be able to change your situation, but you can choose to faithfully trust God in the middle of it. You will never be perfect, but you can be faithful. Number two, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, that's what leads to peace. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, that's what leads to peace. Are you looking at the size of the storm or turning towards the one who can calm it? Why do you think I gave you all the scriptures up front? Because I need you to know that this is not anything new to the Lord. Why do you think it tells us over in the book of Romans, he said, things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's why he gave us all this stuff that's been written here. All the lessons that you've ever had up to this point has been designed to prepare you to have enough faith to get through what we're going through right now. Unprecedented time in world history for us. And God has always been there. Number three, as I close, remember, Jesus is always in your boat. The only way Jesus gets off of your boat is if you set sail without him. If you leave him over there on the shore, that's where he'll be. But Jesus is always on you. How do you know that, preacher? Because he's already told us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I won't do it. I will not. Now, you may leave him. We may leave the Lord. But he said, I will not leave you. Listen, God is still on the throne. Christ is still at his right hand. The Holy Spirit still leads, guides, directs, and navigates the souls of his children across the uncharted and uncertain seas of life. And like a passenger on a ship that's tossed and driven by the angry waves, so are our lives in these troubled and crisis times. But we have Christ. And like a passenger on the ship has to learn to trust the Lord, has to learn, well, I should say, trust the captain of the vessel. We must learn to trust the Lord, who is the captain of our ship. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Not for our love for Christ, but his love for us. No, brothers and sisters, I don't think so. As I close, let me share this with you. When my children were little, and to this day, when my children were small, I taught them two things. And I told them, I said, listen, If I wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you should be able to recite for me these two things. Y'all want to know what it is? Okay, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. The first thing I told them, I said, listen, when they were little children, I said, number one, never panic in a crisis. And number two, think, which later on turned into prayer because they were young at the time. First rule of a crisis is do not panic. Why is that important? Because if you panic, you will never think. You can't think when you're panicking. It's impossible. And you sure ain't going to be thinking about praying. Why? Because you're busy panicking. First rule in a crisis, panic. Second rule in a crisis is pray. We are in a crisis right now. Ain't panicking. Listen, I'm praying. I may be the next victim. You don't know that. You may be. We may have it right now. Don't even know. So what good would panic do? If you've got a problem, take it to the Lord in prayer. It's still true. So as I close, whenever you find yourself overwhelmed by life, you always have two choices. You can focus on your crisis. You can fix your eyes, or you can fix your eyes on Christ. That's it. You only got two choices. Focus on your crisis or fix your eyes on Christ. Let me leave this with you. This is my third close. Okay. this is my third one. Never underestimate the power of community. Never underestimate the power of community. God left us a church for a reason. He left us each other for a reason. I know we oftentimes forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's a reason why he did not want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And even though we're assembling in a different environment, we're still assembling. Never underestimate the power of community. I was working out the other day in preparation for this message by myself. And it was very challenging because I'm used to working out with in a group. You see, last year I invested money into a fitness center. And I paid my membership, but I was not seeing any results. So after about 2 months, I didn't see no results. I said, man, I'm going down to the gym myself to see what they're doing down there at the fitness center because I ain't getting no results and I'm paying my money. Some of y'all will get that on your way home. I paid the money. I just didn't go. You're not going to get any results if you don't come to worship God.
Amen.
He already made the investment. He gave his life. He paid for the church. He purchased the church with his own blood.
Yes, sir.
He gave us a fitness center. We just ain't going.
Why not use it?
Amen. Jesus died on the cross. The investment has already been made. He died, buried, rose again on the third day so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life, that we may have a right to the resurrection, that we could be with the Lord, so that we could be without fear. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, how do you become a member of the body of Christ? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized that in water for the remission of your sins. And then that adds you to the body of Christ. Now you can go work out. Your soul salvation, praise the Lord. As I close, if there are those that are in need of prayer at this particular time, what we will do is I'll turn it back over to Annette and we'll open it up for those who may be in need of prayer. Again, be patient with us as we are going through this new process. Bring your complaint to God. Trust God. Have confidence in God. He'll provide comfort for you. God is bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger than any storm, anything you're going through. Sing with me as I sing this song, and then we'll close out. If you can make it through a storm, if you can make it through a storm, then how can you say that God's the captain of your life if you can't make it through a storm? May God bless you and keep you up.